Hello and welcome to a very special episode of the Score in the City film music podcast. Today I'm taking you to Ghent in Belgium, a city where every October the heart of cinema beats a little louder. Once a year, this small fairy tale European city becomes the global capital of film music. And this year, the world's leading film composers and the entire industry gathered for the 25th World Soundtrack Awards. This special edition arrives at the remarkable moment in history. In December 2025, we celebrate 130 years since the very first film screening. So it's birthday of cinema, a cinema that was never silent. Let me take you to Ghent, the city of carillons, of film, and people who know how to tell the most fascinating stories through music. In this episode, I'm with my fantastic guests, Jerskin Fendrix, one of the most exciting new voices in film composition, A.R. Rahman, whose music has moved the world, two-time Academy Award winner, Martin Phipps, the storyteller behind some of the most unforgettable TV series, and the one and only Maestro Dirk Brusse, composer, conductor, the musical soul of the World Soundtrack Awards. And together, we will wonder if they could travel back in time to Paris, December 1895, when Lumiere Brothers invited audiences to the very first public film screening, arriving from the future of cinema. What would they say?
Oh my God, oh my God, that's a difficult one. What would I say? I think I would have a coffee with them in a brasserie in Paris. And I think I would say, okay, check your agenda. When can we get together for 2 weeks? And let's go to an island. The only thing we need is a CD player. And I would like we together, we will listen to all the beautiful music that has been written since, let's say, Charlie Chaplin and Fendrix.
If you could travel back in time and meet Lumiere Brothers, what would you say to them?
I hope you know what you're doing. And is there a way this early on in the mechanical process that you can make it a bit cheaper? Because this doesn't stop being expensive over a century in the future. And it's really hard for, you know, young weirdos to actually make their own stuff. Hello, my name's Jerskin Fendrix. We're here at the World Soundtrack Awards in Ghent.
My first question is about the map of the film music world. And where is Ghent on this map? Because it is indeed one of the most important places for the world of film music.
Yeah, Ghent, it's a bit surprising because it's a very small city in a very small country in the heart of Europe. I think it's where the cradles stands, and I think it's the WSA is the place that where everything started. I remember that I'm already involved in the film music concerts at the Ghent Film Festival since the mid 80s. They were just randomly organizing concerts, and in those early days we had like the great masters, Maurice Jarre, Georges Delerue, Elmer Bernstein, Angelo Badalamenti. In these days we were inviting the great masters of the previous decades, but it was not structured. This was just very volatile, randomly, once in a while a concert every time during the festival. But since the mid 70s, early 80s, the focus was always on film music. So the theme of the competition, of the film competition, was the impact of music on film. So it was not for the best film, best actress. No, it was always for the impact. So that means that the film that won, it was a composer who got the prize, not the director or not the actress.
I like this idea.
Or the featured artists. And then in the late 90s, we decided to give a structure to all those concerts. And in 2000, we decided to start with the WSA, World Soundtrack Awards and World Soundtrack Academy, without knowing what we would do with it. It was just to give a structure to the activities we already had. And the very first concert was with Hans Zimmer, Lisa Gerrard, La Boheme, a lot of people that collaborated on the film. Music of Gladiator.
And The Lion King as well, probably. Yeah, so all the success.
Lion King, etc. And I remember there were like more than 150 musicians on stage. There was the Brussels Philharmonic, there was a choir, there was an ethnic choir, there were the soloists, there was Hans with this band, there was a jazz band, there was a ethnic African choir. So you can't imagine. It was just amazing. And Hans got a prize, Pre-Lifetime Achievement Award that had been given by Morgan Freeman. So it was a memorable concert. It was also the first time that Hans presented his music to the world in a live concert. It was also the first time that this concert was recorded. The year after, we said, okay, we have to continue, but now let's structure it a little bit more. So let's give a Lifetime Achievement Award. Let's maybe organize a film music competition, etc., etc. So this was the second year that we started to shape the World Soundtrack Awards ceremony, which hasn't changed a lot since 25 years. I mean, we still have the same framework. We have new categories. We have game music. We have best composer, blah, 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 blah. But yeah, and since then, I think we have been copied, first of all, by our dear friends from Poland, from Krakow. I remember in 2004, 2005, a certain Robert Piaskowski and Agata came to Ghent as visitors. We became best friends, and we are still very good partners in crime.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's a story. And you joined this festival. You know, it was a very natural thing for you because this is your hometown.
It's my hometown. And I remember in the mid 80s, I went to the office.
You were born to do this.
I was born to do this. In the mid 80s, I went to see the previous CEO, Jacques Dubrulle. I knocked on his door. I said, can we have an appointment? He said, yeah, what can I do for you? And I said to him, I think that your festival needs an overture, an official overture. And he said, okay. And who should write this overture? I said, well, I think the man who's in front of you could write it. And by the way, the overture is ready. So I showed him the score. And I said, here it is. Please read it. And he said, I cannot read notes. I said, then maybe we should record it. And he said, let's do it. It was incredible. Mm-hmm. So I was 25 years old. I had written the official overture of the festival, and he found the fundings to record it. And since then, we were collaborating in a very close way. So in the very early days of the WSA, the first 10 years, I was the conductor of the house, the house conductor. And then after 10 years, I became the music director because I thought it was interesting for a festival in which the music was playing a more and more important role to have a music director. So somebody who has an overview of all the music activities and in a way who has the final word.
What I think of the World Soundtrack Awards.
I can't believe it is already 25 years that we've been doing this.
It's been absolutely magical. People that love film music, people that love movies, I'm guest of honor, but it's a huge honor for me to be here today.
Let's raise a toast to the Composer Diversity Collective.
A heartfelt thank you to the World Soundtrack Awards and to everyone who had a part in selecting us for this honor. Thank you.
Hey, this is A.R. Rahman. I'm a composer. A big hi from me. and I've been treated beautifully. They're hosting me beautifully at Ghent, the World Soundtrack Awards. I've been a lover of movies from very young. Even when I was working in the studio when I was 12 years old, my first VCR was actually Ticket to Heaven. You know, then the video libraries were like a shrine. You go there and you pick movies, and it was such fascinating. I used to watch literally three or four movies a day. I used to go. That was like a ritual, going to the thing. So I would say thank you, Lumina Brothers. I wish they should come back again, change the format of cinema, because I'm bored with just the rectangle one. Because there's so many different ways to enjoy. Like, we could look at the Sphere in Las Vegas. It's a completely different experience. If people make that kind of theaters, it's going to be even more immersive, and we can fight all the piracy and, you know, people watching Netflix at home, because that is really immersive. And then I've also directed a movie called La Masque, which is on virtual reality. And the more I worked on it, I felt like the possibilities of a different kind of immersive entertainment which can coexist with the cinema. I feel like all this can happen, which will complement cinema in such a way that people be pulled into storytelling in a much better way, psychologically, not just the same way we've seen 130 years back. There's no change. I feel like there should be some change, which, because of all the kind of data, the extraordinary cameras we have, the way the screening has to definitely change.
And now we have all these great composers coming from all over the world. And we're in small Ghent. I think that this reminds us of the European roots of the cinema in general.
Yeah, exactly.
Everything started here in 1895, which is 130 years ago, exactly.
Exactly, but the origin of film actually started in Ghent. Because,
really?
I will tell you, the brothers Lumière, their way of creating images was based on a theory that was invented by Joseph Plateau. And Joseph Plateau was a professor at the Ghent University, and he started actually everything. So the history of film music basically started here, and it was on his ideas that the brothers Lumière created the first films, and then the rest, of course, is history. So it's coincidentally, it's logic that everything started here, also the music.
Well, I was not prepared to hear this. Now I'm really, really touched. And what do you feel now? I could describe you as this romantic spirit who suddenly, you know, you're a part of modern world, but you're a romantic person, romantic artist, composer, conductor.
This time of the year, it's my it's a time of the year, you know. For 25 years, I had no idea 25 years how this would continue, how this would evaluate. But so we are still here, and more than ever, I think we are still one of the most wanted places to be. I don't want to say the most important places. Probably yes, I should say that, because every year the amount of people of the industry and the amount of composers that are coming from all over the place, when they're when they are nominated in whatever category. I remember in the beginning years, sometimes we had five nominees and one person was present, the one who was winning. Now it's the opposite. I mean, everybody is here. Also because they are nominated, but also because they want to be a part of that big family. They also want to be in Ghent, because, as you said before, Ghent is a very small city, but it's a human-sized city. People are very friendly, and I think the festival has something very, very, very warm, very romantic, as you said. And my position is, I'm here since 25 years, but I, in the same time, I'm living today. I have all those memories of the past 25 years, all those people, tons of people, hundreds of people I have met, I have worked with, people that are not here anymore. Morricone, Badalamenti, Jerry Goldsmith, just name them. They were all connected to the festival.
Masters, yeah.
But at the same time, I'm here with the colleagues that live today. And for the future, the young composers that will hopefully develop a career in the future. So I feel like I'm in the middle of those... I'm in the middle of many generations, generations that have gone and generations that have just started. It's a very special position.
As you said, you have countless memories of this film music moments and this festival. Could you please share at least two of them? But I'm not maybe asking about the concert moments. I want to ask you about Morricone sitting in the restaurant, you know, walking with someone, something like that.
No, but that's a good one. That's a good one. I'm glad you mentioned it. I remember Morricone has been here a couple of times, and because he only speaks Italian, it's very difficult to communicate with him. Although he had his translator always on his side, but certain moments when we invited him, we went to a restaurant, and actually we hired an entire restaurant only for this particular occasion, and we were with 13 people. And Jacques Dubrul, he organized a big table, a round table with 13 people, and Morricone came in and he counted the chairs and he said to his manager, "I cannot sit on a table with 13 chairs because it will bring me bad luck." So I'm afraid
he was Italian. This
yeah,
is so
I'm
typical.
Afraid. I'm afraid I cannot do this. So immediately this was communicated with Jacques Dubrul. He said, "Well, you know what? It's very easy. Let's reorganize the seating, and we'll have two tables: one table with six and one table with seven." But then all the guests, important guests, they were almost fighting to be at the table of Morricone, of course, because everybody wanted to sit on Morricone's table. But then we said, okay, so for the starter and for the main dish, Morricone will sit on this table. For the dessert and for the coffee, he will change places and he will go to the other table. And this is an amazing, really an amazing, amazing story. And yeah, I have a lot of other stories. One other story is when we performed with John Powell, and we performed some of his music, and he brought on his computer, he brought a pre-recorded layer with a choir on it. So the idea was to have a live performance of his music and an extra layer with the pre-recorded choir. So we rehearsed one time, two times, general rehearsal. Everything went perfect. But on the concert, his computer didn't work. So it didn't start. So I was looking at him, said, "Should we continue? Should we stop?" I didn't, because the film already started. And I looked at him, and for 5-6 seconds, it was uncertain. So we continued. And then I made a sign to him that, "Let's continue." I said, "Okay, no choir, but let's continue." So we played the entire cue without choir. Mm-hmm. These things are happening.
Yeah, but also the festival is written with these kind of memories.
Yeah, of course. And maybe one day I should write them down. I should write them.
If you need some help, can count on me.
For me, yeah. I think the most beautiful moments were the moments where composers that were very uncertain, that were very nervous to have their music played for the very first time in a concert configuration. And so we all know when a composer is writing film music, this music is produced. They add special effects, and that it sounds really contemporary, fresh, energetic. But sometimes in a concert configuration, we don't have these added techniques. So sometimes some composers were really astonished that their music was sounding acoustically not as on the film. And then with a very small heart and with a heartbeat, they came to see me and say, "Maestro, this is not how it should sound. What can we do?" I say, "We are performing what's on paper, but can we do something?" I said, "Well, okay, let's try to do something." And very often this is like a day before the concert, or sometimes the day of the concert during the general rehearsal. And with my experience and the experience of the orchestra and with the permission of the composer, sometimes we change some things in articulation, in dynamics. Sometimes we doubled certain instruments that it came at as close as possible to what they had in mind. And yeah, these are unforgettable, beautiful moments.
That the winner for Discovery of the Year, Daniel Bloomberg.
Well, I have to thank a lot of people because a score you never make alone. So thank you.
I'm so grateful to write music for games and for Klaus Kure. So thank you for this.
Have a great evening. Thank you very much.
Film music concert is this big, important part of this festival, and you have a great experience in conducting film music concert. John Williams asked you to conduct his Star Wars tour. It's maybe a very simple question, but I'm really curious what you're going to answer. Why we love this film music outside of the cinema? Why we want to, you know, have this performed again and again and again?
Many reasons. I think one of the main reasons I see and I experienced is the most successful film music is referring to the collective memory. If we listen to the music of John Williams, even if we hear it for the first time, we have the impression that we know this music. It's coming home. It's not like you discover something completely new. This is one of the secrets. All other music that is not referring in one or another way to the collective memory, it's much more difficult to survive on a concert platform. I remember one year we had Cliff Martinez, who's a great composer, and he wrote music like soundscapes. Mm-hmm. I loved it, but the audience didn't like it because there was no melody, there was a lack of melody, there was a lack of rhythm, and after three tracks, they went like, what is this? So this is music that is perfectly made for the film. When you see it together with the film, it's fantastic. But once you play it as concert music, it, and with all my respect for Cliff, it a whole concert, it doesn't survive because it's not referring to the collective memory. And there are a lot of composers that write fantastic film music, but it should stay with the film.
And, but at the same time, luckily we do have these classics like John Williams' music, Nino Rota's music, Ennio Morricone's music.
Exactly, and even today, I think it doesn't mean that you cannot be experimental. For example, the music by Elliot Goldenthal, the great Elliot Goldenthal, he does a lot of experimental music as well, especially in instrumentation. But it's still music that is referring to the collective memory, which doesn't mean that music that is less accessible has a lesser value. For example, the music written by Penderecki is very, very, it's not easy to listen at, but it's fantastic music. Hi to all my listeners, to all the listeners of Score and the City. I'm Dirk Brosset. I'm a composer, conductor from Belgium. I'm the music director of the one and only World Soundtrack Awards.
What would you tell the Lumiere brothers back in, what would you tell the audience back in there? I would say, enjoy the silence. Yeah, I mean, that thing of, in those days of having only live music performed to it and then nothing but silent picture was a really interesting way of doing something. And I think the trouble is nowadays we have so much technology at our disposal and we can do almost limitless stuff that you are just bombarded by imagery and ideas so quickly and our brains have lost the ability to meditate on something slow and deep and interesting. And that's, I would say, yeah, enjoy that before AI hits. Hi, it's Martin Phipps. Great to be on this fantastic podcast, Score in the City, and to be here with Magda today.